From Hollywood, California, we bring you Chapter 15 in the Chronicles of River's End. The star of the show, Gene Herschel, in his greatest of all roles. The title of the show, Dr. Christian. The sponsor of the show, the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. Our first stop in River's End today is at the village drugstore, where Roy Davis, the proprietor, is talking with one of his customers.
They tell me the skating on the river is the best it's been all winter, Mrs. Gray. Have you been out lately?
No, but the children go every day after school. In fact, that's what brings me in here today. I need another jar of Vaseline petroleum jelly. They're always getting bumps and bruises, especially little Linda, who's just learning, you know. The Vaseline jelly goes fast in our house in consequence.
You couldn't use anything better on their bumps and bruises.
In the hair that my children seem to have all winter long.
Oh, hello, Helen. How right you are.
Hello, Mr. Davis.
Mrs. Jones?
Well, my pet use for Vaseline jelly is for chapped hands. Seems to me my hands are always in the dishpan or the wash tub or the scrub bucket. They get so red and rough and sore.
So do mine. But I never thought of using Vaseline jelly on them.
Well, you'd better begin right now. It's the best remedy I've found for chapped hands and similar skin irritations. Cheap, too.
I'll try it this very day. Let me have a bottle, too, Roy.
Right, Miss Jones.
Of course, we always have Vaseline jelly in the medicine closet.
But it's a good idea to have an extra bottle handy in the kitchen.
Yes.
Here you are, Mrs. Jones. Yes, that's right. It's 10 cents a bottle.
There's no sound so sweet to the druggist or manufacturer as the ringing of the cash register. Satisfied customers have made the trademark Vaseline famous all over the world, have made Vaseline products the standard equipment in home medicine closets. And satisfied customers also make it possible for us to bring you Gene Herschel in this series of Dr. Christian broadcasts. Whenever any of your Vaseline products have been used up, don't neglect to replenish them the same day. And when you buy, be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline on the package. If you don't see it, you are not getting the genuine article. And now we bring you Gene Herschel as Dr. Paul Christian and Chapter 15 in the story of the Doctor of River's End. The scene is Dr. Christian's office, where he is dictating a letter to Judy.
And take a letter to Dr. John Bruce.
Yes?
Let's see. My dear John, I'm just getting around to thanking you for the laboratory work you did for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad we haven't such facilities closer to River's End. If I ever should be able to get a hold of any money, say $500,000...
Oh, now, Dr. Christian, be reasonable.
Oh, $250,000.
No, sir, not 1 cent over 10,000.
10,000? I couldn't be bothered to think a little sum like that. 200,000? That's the very best I can do.
50,000.
I wouldn't think of it.
All right, my last offer. 100,000, take it or leave it.
Oh, I wouldn't leave it. I'll take it. Sold. To the young lady sitting there at the desk.
And now what are you going to do with all that money?
Oh, yes, yes. Let's see. Where was I? $500,000. I'd build a small but completely equipped hospital with laboratory, surgery.
Well, wait a minute. Don't I get anything out of this?
Sure. If you're a good girl, you can be sick in the hospital.
Ah, that's no fun.
Well, there's no pleasing some people.
Oh, I want a car so I can drive home myself every evening instead of waiting for Jerry.
All right. I'll settle out of court and buy you a car. Don't forget now if...
Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Norma.
Hello, Mrs. Farrell.
I'll finish that letter after a while, Judy.
All right.
Come on in here, Mrs.
Farrell. Oh, now, don't you let me bother you. I merely dropped in to have a chat. I was just going by,
well,
and I thought...
Well, that's fine. Come on in here anyway.
Well, I hope you don't mind my saying it, Dr. Paul, but you know you really ought to do something about this office.
Why? Oh, what's the matter with
it? Oh, it's so old-fashioned and somber-looking. It ought to be brightened up a little. You know what this office needs, Dr. Christian, is a woman's touch.
Oh, I don't know. Judy is a woman, and Mrs. Moll comes in and cleans up every day. She's a woman, too.
Oh, but I mean someone who'd have a real personal interest in it. You know, poor dear Jim used to always say, now, Norma, you know much more about such things than I do, and I'm going to leave everything up to you.
Yes, Jim did have a lot of confidence in your judgment. Sit down, Norma.
I don't suppose he ever went into a single deal that he didn't talk it over with me. A good, sensible wife is a big help to a professional man.
So I've heard.
You know, I've often wondered why you haven't thought seriously about marriage, Dr. Paul.
Oh, but I have. Very seriously. That's why I'm still a bachelor.
Oh, now, Dr. Christian, you can't fool me. You have feelings and emotions just like anyone else. You can't tell me that there haven't been times when your heart stood still.
Yes. Yes, there was a time when my heart stood still.
See, I knew it. What was her name, Dr. Paul?
Nellie Fleet.
Nellie Fleet?
It was at the county fair last fall. She was in the 3 furlong race.
A race?
Yeah, I bet $2 on her to show, and before the race was over, I darn near died.
You can joke all you like, but you know, some one of these days you'll meet the right woman, and before you know it, you'll be taking her for better or for worse.
Maybe she won't take me for better or for worse.
Oh, yes, she will. She'll play on your soul like a harp.
I knew there was a string to it.
Oh, you're impossible, Dr. Christian, but you mark my words. Oh, dear, I have the most annoying tickling in my throat. What do you think I should do?
You've already done it. Cough.
Oh, I mean to stop it.
Well, Roy Davis has a prescription for a remedy I often recommend for coughs. Have him make up some for you, will you?
Would he charge very much? I only need a little.
Oh, he charges about 50 cents, I think.
That's quite a bit. I wonder if he'd make it any less if I furnished my own bottle. Even if I am well off, I don't believe in squandering my money.
No one would ever accuse you of squandering money, Norma.
No, I guess I'm just naturally thrifty. You know, Jim used to say I was a marvelous manager. He said he often used to think what he'd do without me.
I'm sure he did.
You know, some men are so careless about financial matters. Why, I'll bet there are ways I could save you money, Dr. Paul. And, you know, they do say the two can live as cheaply as the...
Yes? Oh, come in, Judy.
Pat Tansy is here for his appointment.
Oh, well, then I'll be going. I'm one woman, Dr. Paul, who realizes the value of a busy man's time.
Drop in again sometime, Norma.
I will. And I really meant what I said about brightening up your office, too. I'm going to send you something tomorrow.
Oh, don't go to any trouble.
Oh, won't be any trouble at all when it's for you. Goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye.
Paul.
I call her Norma, don't I?
And this is the third time she's just dropped in the last couple of weeks. Say, what is this, anyway?
What's what?
Well, it looks as if she might have some other reason besides merely chiseling free medical advice.
Oh, now, Norma Farrell is a fine woman. She's smart, too.
Oh, you bet she's smart.
She was a big help to Jim before he died. She was the one who was really responsible for his success. Why, he left everything to her.
Yes, he left her $100,000. That was 3 years ago, and she still has every nickel of it.
Office? Oh, yes, Jerry. Your raincoat? No, I don't think you left it here. Well, Mrs. Morrow might have found it when she cleaned up and hung it on the back porch. Okay, I'll take a look and call you back.
Say, Judy!
Oh, Tip! What lovely carnations. Where'd you get them?
They're for Dr. Christian. Mrs. Farrell sent them.
Mrs. Farrell?
Yeah, and she sent this note with them. It says they're for Dr. Christian's office, and she'd love to have him wear one for her.
Tip Brent, you opened that envelope and read the note?
No, I didn't either. The envelope came unsealed.
Give me that note. You ought to be ashamed of yourself reading other people's mail.
It ain't mail, it's just a note.
Oh.
It don't say anything except she'd like to have him wear one for her. Anyway, she only gave me a penny to deliver this stuff.
Well, that's no excuse for reading the note. Wait till I get a vase.
All the way from her house to this office for a penny. Say, do you suppose Dr. Christian will wear one for her?
Never mind. I'll take those now.
The way I figure, a trip like that ought to be worth a dime anyhow. Maybe Dr. Christian will make up the other 9 cents. Will you ask him?
Dr. Christian isn't here.
Well, he ought to be willing to put up the 9 cents. He's getting the flowers for nothing.
All right, but he isn't here now, and you can ask him yourself when you see him.
Guy deserves a living wage. Hi, Mr. Davis.
Hello, Tip. Doc here, Judy?
No, he isn't back yet.
Well, I'll wait a few minutes.
You got more time than I have. I'll be back later, Judy, to collect that 9 cents. So long.
Goodbye, Tip. Oh, that's right. I'd better go out and look for Jerry's raincoat while I think of it. When Dr. Christian comes in, call his attention to this note, will you?
Oh, sure. I'll hand it to him personally. Your boyfriends kind of keep you busy, don't they?
Yes, but don't you say...
So I see.
Oh, hello, Roy. Where did the carnations come from?
I don't know. Judy was just putting them in the vase when I came in. From one of her boyfriends, I suppose. I guess love is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Providing her gang of Romeos doesn't start killing each other. Why doesn't she pick one of them and get married?
Oh, Judy, she isn't ready yet to get married.
Well, she could at least get engaged and stop a lot of useless competition. What's the use of keeping a man guessing?
Personally, I don't believe in long engagements.
Well, maybe not. The couple know each other well. Here, hold still a minute.
What?
I'm going to put one of Judy's carnations in your buttonhole.
No, Roy. That's all right for young fellows, but I can't wear one.
Why shouldn't you? You're still a young fellow.
Well, if a patient should come in, he'd think I'm showing off.
Nothing of the sort. Yeah? Look swell.
I don't know.
Oh, say, I almost forgot what I came in for.
What?
You know what tomorrow is?
What?
The first day of the fishing season.
Say, that's right.
And Spud Powell tipped me off to a brand new spot.
He did?
Yeah. And Spud knows the river like a book. He fished this spot last year. Now, you think you can get some time off tomorrow?
Well, Roy, maybe I can arrange it. I haven't any calls to make tomorrow morning, and I can put my office appointments off a little. Yes, I think I can.
Okay. But don't let anybody know about this, or the whole town will be there. I told Spud Powell to check in with you tomorrow morning.
How about bait?
Spud will furnish it. And take my advice and bring along some flies, too. I have a big hunch that there are some bass in there.
Oh, no, come in, Norma, come in. I was just talking something over with Roy.
Hello, Mrs. Farrell.
Good morning, Mr. Davis.
Well, I've got to get back to the store, Doc.
All right, Roy. But keep this under your hat. We don't want the whole town to know.
Yeah, and you keep it under your hat, too. Don't say a word to anyone.
No, I won't.
You won't get a chance like this often, so don't put it off.
So long.
A chance like what, Paul?
Why, nothing. I was only giving me some advice.
Oh. Why, Paul, you're wearing a carnation.
Yes. You don't think it's bold, do you?
Why, of course not. I think it's lovely, Paul.
Roy Davis thought it'd be all right.
Why, you didn't talk that over with him.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Well, I don't know. Only I just thought
Well,
that...
he said, why shouldn't I? I'm still young.
He did? Oh, well, what else did he say?
What else?
Yes, about the carnations.
Oh, I don't remember. He said love was a wonderful thing.
Oh, it is. It is, Paul.
Yes, I guess it is. Roy thinks that when a person is in love, she ought to get married or at least engaged.
Yes.
No use keeping a man guessing. I've often told Judy I don't believe in long engagements. Especially when a couple know each other well,
That's right. Why, when they're old friends...
But then I suppose it's up to the girl herself to make up her mind about a thing like that.
Oh, Paul. Oh, this is so surprising. I just don't know what
if
to say.
If you raincoat around the office, I certainly can't find... Oh, where's Mr. Davis?
He's gone, Judy.
Oh, I see he has.
Well, then I'd better go too, Paul. I just got to think this thing over. It's all so sudden. Goodbye, Judy. Goodbye, Paul. I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Norma. And what's the matter with her?
You ought to know.
All of a sudden, she seemed to get excited about something. What's she got to think over?
Well, maybe, you know, there's just a bare possibility it has something to do with that carnation you're wearing.
Oh, she said she liked it.
No doubt, after the way she's been angling. But I didn't think you had the idea of doing a little fishing.
Well, why shouldn't I do a little fishing?
Oh, then you admit it.
Well, of course I admit it. A chance like this doesn't happen every day.
No, of course not.
Anyway, who told you about me fishing?
Nobody had to tell me. It's perfectly plain just by looking at you.
By looking at me?
Yes.
You don't mean to say that by looking at me you can tell that I'm going fishing.
Oh, who couldn't? Don't you suppose I know what those flowers are for? Bait.
Bait?
Yes, bait.
Now, who ever heard of using carnations for bait?
All right, but it just so happens that I know what that note said.
Note? What note?
The note she sent with the flowers.
But I didn't get any note.
Huh?
Aren't those your flowers?
You know perfectly well Mrs. Farrell sent them. Didn't Roy Davis give you her note?
No, he said the flowers were yours.
Huh?
He just came in to talk to me about going fishing and... I didn't think you'd care if I took a flower from my buttonhole.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
Well, what's the matter?
Oh.
Has everyone gone crazy?
I can't figure this.
Oh, you're going to have to figure when I tell you what's happened. And figure fast.
During intermission in our Dr. Christian story, may I take just a moment to suggest to those of you who do not already know the benefits of Vaseline Hair Tonic that you use one bottle according to instructions and see for yourself what it can do for you. Here are the directions. When you are ready to shampoo your hair, first massage the scalp with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Give your scalp a good workout till it tingles with renewed circulation, for it is this increased blood supply that feeds the hair roots. The tonic will lubricate the scalp and cleanse the opening of pores of the accumulation of surface dirt. Follow the massage with your regular shampoo. Then, when your hair is dry, brush a little more of the tonic on it to groom and make it stay in place. This two-way Vaseline hair tonic treatment is easy and inexpensive, but it improves both the health and the appearance of your hair, counteracting dry scalp and supplementing the natural oils of the hair. Vaseline hair tonic comes in 40 and 70 cent sizes. Enough in the 40-cent bottle to give from 6 to 10 weekly massages, as well as daily grooming. And so we return to our story. It's the following morning. Dr. Christian is in his private office. The door opens.
Mrs. Farrell is here.
Oh. Oh, she is?
Yes, she is.
Yes, I suppose she is.
Well?
Can't you say I'm busy?
It wouldn't do any good. You'd simply wait. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'd better think up some kind of an idea.
Shall I show her in?
No. I'll see you under the reception room. Judy.
Yes?
Listen, I've got to get rid of her. Well, you sneak out the back way and tell Roy Davis to phone me in the office in a little while. I'll answer the phone and hurry away. She'll think I've been called out on the case.
But you can't keep on running away from her the rest of your life.
I know, but in the meantime, maybe I can think of something. You go ahead and have Roy Davis phone me.
Well, what shall I tell him to say?
Anything. It doesn't make any difference as long as he phones.
All right.
But please, hurry. I'll go into the reception room and be talking to her when the phone rings.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Well, I haven't had much time to notice.
Oh, just like spring. I don't know why it is, but spring does something to me. Always has, ever since I was a child.
Oh, me too. They used to give me sulfur and molasses.
I mean, it does something to my inner nature. Don't you think all of us are deeply affected by our surroundings?
Oh, sure. I knew a young fellow who took his girl out riding, accidentally put the car in reverse, and was backward all evening.
You've just been reading my mind. It's such a grand day, I thought we might go out for a little ride.
Oh, No, I couldn't do that. I'm too busy.
Oh, couldn't you forget business? Just a teeny bit. Just this one.
Oh, no, I...
Oh, it's so balmy and warm.
I don't like warm weather. I hate warm weather. In fact, I've been thinking about moving to Alaska.
Oh, Paul, you're surely not going to Alaska.
Well, I don't know. Of course, it's pretty off country up there. I know one doctor went up there with his wife and... Oh, she had a terrible time. She had to live in a house made out of ice.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, and that isn't all. No, for 6 months she didn't have anything to eat but whale blubber.
I like sardines.
And for a whole year she didn't see anybody but Eskimos.
Must be very interesting. You know, I've always wanted to make a trip to Alaska.
Oh, you have?
Yes, indeed. You know, if it weren't so expensive, I'd love to travel.
Now, that's right where I'm different. I'm a regular homebody.
Oh, I like my home life, too.
I wouldn't even stay out of the office here if Judy didn't keep after me. I suppose she gets tired of my temper.
Temper?
Oh, haven't you heard? Yes, I have terrible fits of temper. Terrible.
Why, I've never seen you lose your temper.
You're lucky. I guess I'm pretty bad.
Oh, I don't think so at all. A man who doesn't lose his temper once in a while hasn't any character. Paul. I've got an idea.
I wish I could get one.
Look, as long as you're too busy to take a little time off, I'll ride around with you while you make your calls.
Oh, no. You see, I'm not making any calls this morning.
Oh, but you'll be called out someplace before the morning's over, and I don't mind waiting.
That's awfully nice of you, Norma,
but... Judy's often told me how the phone rings all day.
But I'm sure there won't be any call this morning. Everybody in town is perfectly healthy. There's a regular epidemic of health. I know that phone won't ring once.
There's the phone now. I'll bet somebody's sick. I'll answer.
Now, Norma, wait.
Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Christian's office.
Norma.
What do you want to see Dr. Christian about? Well, what's the matter with Mr. Powell?
Norma, let me have the phone.
Well, now, who is this speaking? Yes, who is this speaking? I mean, what is your name? Yes. I'll tell Dr. Christian right away. It's about Bud Powell.
Oh, is that all? Bud Powell, oh. Oh, yes, I know he was going to call me this morning.
You knew it?
Yes, oh, it's nothing important.
Not important? Why, he's just broken both legs.
He's broken both legs?
That's what the man said. He wouldn't give me his name. He just said, Bud Powell's broken both legs and for you to hurry.
Well, I'll go right away.
I'll go with you. Maybe I can help.
No, you stay here. You've got to stay here.
Oh, but Paul, I think
I... Well, don't you see? Judy isn't around and somebody has to mind the office. If you really want to help, then...
All right, Paul, I'll stay. Here, let me help you on with your coat. Oh, a doctor's life is thrilling. So different from Jim's real estate business.
Old legs, huh? That's bad. Mustn't lose any time.
Oh, my, he must be suffering dreadfully. Now, I'm just sure I could do a lot to help if I could only go along.
But someone has to stay here, Norma, to answer the phone and to...
Going out, Dr. Christian? Here's Judy. She can mind the office and answer the phone.
Yes, sure, but only... Didn't you want to take the day off, Judy?
Why, no.
Well, are you sure? Didn't you mention something about wanting to see a friend?
Oh, no. If you have a call to make, you go right ahead.
We'd better hurry, Paul.
Now, wait a minute, Norma. It's a long, long drive to Spot Powell's. Almost 8 miles.
Oh, I don't mind.
If you take my advice, you won't go.
Well...
You don't know what it is to see a man with both legs broken.
Well, maybe I'd better not go, then.
Well, that's fine. You stay here with Judy and I'll...
Hello, Doc.
Why, Bud Powell.
Huh? What's the matter?
Yes, Bud, what do you mean by walking all the way into town with both legs broken?
Say, there ain't nothing the matter with my legs.
Why, somebody called up and said you'd broken both legs.
Oh, they're crazy. I came to see Doc about that fishing.
Yeah, some other time, Spot.
Yeah, Doc, but this warm spell ain't going to last forever if you put it off.
Yeah, but not now, Spot. Today I'm engaged.
Engaged?
Yes, but now please don't tell anyone. Paul and I want to keep it a secret.
Yes, Norma.
I wanted to get here early so I could be sure and find you alone. Judy isn't around, is she?
No, she hasn't come to work yet, but she'll be here any minute.
Well, then I'll have to talk awful fast. You see, Paul, we've always been good friends, haven't we?
Yes.
And we always will be, won't we?
I hope so.
Well, then, promise me you won't think badly of me.
Well, I don't know what you mean, Norma.
Well, it's just this, Paul. I think we've made a mistake, both of us.
I make lots of mistakes, but...
I mean about our engagement. It hurts me to tell you this, Paul. You see, you just can't realize the struggle I had to bring myself to it, but, well, you know, I think we ought to call this all off.
Why, Norma, what makes you say that?
Oh, I just been thinking, that's all. You know, we're both sort of set in our ways, and, well, we just didn't stop to consider, that's all. I mean, we sort of rushed in.
Norma, you don't know how you make me feel. You really don't.
Oh, Paul, I know I'm fickle and heartless and selfish, but at least I'm truthful. You can give me credit for that.
But I can't understand what made you change your mind. Is it something I've said or done?
Oh, no. I think the world of you, Paul. Why, everyone in River's End does. Only I simply just feel that, well, marriage wouldn't work out. But we can still be friends, can't we? Oh, Paul, can't we?
If you want it that way, Norma, well, That's the way it'll be.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
Now, let's not think about it anymore. We'll go back and pick up things right where we left off before this happened.
Oh, I knew you'd understand.
Only I don't. Maybe it's better that way.
Good morning.
Oh. Good morning.
Hello, Judy.
Well, morning, isn't it? Looks as if the warm spell's going to hang on.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Norma, how's your cough?
Oh, it got all right, so I didn't think it was worthwhile to spend the money for medicine.
Well, that's fine.
But if it bothers me again, I'll come in and see you about it. Goodbye, Judy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Dr. Christian.
Goodbye, Norma. Uh-huh. I've just had quite a shock, Judy. It seems I'm no longer engaged to Norma Farrell.
Ah, I had a hunch that would happen. In fact, I was almost certain of it.
Well, I wish you'd told me.
Dr. Christian, you're pretty good at helping other people out of fixes, but when it comes to helping yourself, you're a perfect baby.
Huh?
So I had to come to your rescue.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I met Mrs. Farrell at the Thursday Club meeting last night, and we had a nice little chat about you.
Well, look here, what did you tell her about me?
Oh, nothing but the most complimentary things. That you were nice and kind and generous. Oh, awfully generous. I said you'd give away anything you had.
Well, I still don't see that.
And I told her if you ever got hold of $100,000, you plan to donate it all to a hospital. Well, Mrs. Farrell has $100,000.
But I didn't ever say that.
Oh, yes, you did. I have a carbon copy of that letter you wrote to Dr. John Bruce to prove it. Besides, you also promised me a car.
Well, I'll be...
Don't say it. I told Mrs. Farrell you didn't swear.
I think I'll sit down a minute.
You see, I figured Mrs. Farrell wouldn't take a chance on losing $1 of that $100,000, even to marry you.
Judy, my nerves are all shot to pieces. You know what I'm going to do?
Certainly. Take the day off and go fishing.
That's right. But I'm not going to use carnations for bait.
Another Dr. Christian program presented for your enjoyment by the makers of Vaseline preparations comes to a close. Before we sign off, though, Gene Hirschold himself has a word for you.
Good afternoon, friends of River's End, which means I know friends of Vaseline preparations, too. Last week, Art Gilmore, your handsome announcer here. Oh, by the way, Art, do you use Vaseline hair tonic to smoothen that thick, nice hair of yours?
You bet I do. And what's more, Gene, I used it long before you ever heard of this program.
Well, these young fellows know all the tricks, it seems. Anyway, what I wanted to say this afternoon is that my gift to the radio audience, which Art mentioned to you last week, will be ready for you next Sunday. Now, I'm not going to tell you anything about it today. I want to leave you guessing, you see. But when you hear all about it next week, I know you're going to like it. And I hope you're going to want it very much indeed as it comes to you with my sincere thanks for your interest in these Dr. Christian programs. Thank you.
And thank you, Gene Hirschold. Whatever the gift is, I'm going to be the first one in line to receive it. We'll be back next Sunday at this hour with another story of the Doctor of River's End. Meanwhile, we bid you good afternoon for the makers of Vaseline products. Gene Hirschold appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.